You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, just plain right here on Right Side Radio, moving into the last hour of the day for one of my favorite segments every single week, the Grand Council, we like to call it. I've got several brethren on the line with me right now. We always have Dale Jackson from our own WVNN. Dale Jackson, are you here, sir?
Yes, sir.
There he is. All right, we got our guy Jeff Poor, formerly with WVNN, now with 106.5 down on the coast. Jeff Poor, are you with us?
I am present.
And fellas, we have an honorary member of the Grand Council for today. That is our own Yaffe. Yaffe, grab the mic. Is you here?
I'm present.
I pronounce a quorum for the Grand Council, so I'm going to go ahead and say, Yaffe, hit that sound effect.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Da-da-da. Da-da-da. I'm going to play a kazoo one day when I do that, just for fun. But all right, so here's the rules, as they always are, folks, in case you've never heard it before. The Grand Council, we assemble. Every one of us are conservative talkers. We're a bunch of pundits, but we ping each other with questions, and then we see how the answers come out. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we differ. We always love each other when it's done. But I'm going to go ahead and say today, Jeff Poor, you get the first question. Go with it, bud.
All right, right out of the gate here, we're going to take it down to my neck of the woods, the Bay Bridge back in the news, or the I-10 Bridge, as some of you may know it around the state. It occurs to me this is probably going to be the last chance for a long time that the folks in my part of the state have a shot at this. And I'm kind of curious, you look at it, if you've seen it, if you've had a chance to digest the proposal. What is the view from beyond the Mobile Baldwin County area?
To tell you what, I'll go first, and then I'll shop it out from there. But yeah, you know, the interesting thing of this is that toll bridge possibility that ran with last time was done so ham-handedly by DOT that it died under its own weight, really. Plus, you know, of course, you killed it, Jeff Poor. I know that for
yes!
a fact. But that's right. But but here's the deal. The Heritage Foundation did a study and came out and said the most conservative means for implementing infrastructure like that is a toll, because it's a pay-as-you-go as opposed to everybody paying for something they might not use. So interesting dynamic there. I don't know they're going to get it done in this go-round, to be honest. Dale Jackson, what do you think, man?
$250 million from the state. It's a lot, but you know, look at what Mobile does. Look what it brings to the table. So that'll be an interesting move. I think the only chance that it fails is if Jeff Poor single-handedly just tries to kill it again.
Yaffe, what do you think, bud?
Yeah, I mean, the power of Jeff Poor is what
scary,
I'm getting.
Isn't it?
What I'm getting from this, you know, I agree with what you said, Phil. You know, toll roads, a lot of people hate them. I complained about them in Orlando a lot, but they were always the most well-done, beautiful roads around. So I'm always conflicted on that.
Well, Jeff, it's your question. Wrap it up, bud. What do you think about your own question?
Well, if we want toll roads in this state, let's not just do it in Mobile, Alabama. If you really think that is the right way to go, I don't think you could have two sets of standards where we're going to do it one way in one part of the state. And not picking on any other part of the state, but, well, I will. Birmingham, the 2059 new section there, it came at a high, high, high price. And there's no toll there. So I'm a little reluctant to accept that as the most conservative, unless we're going to do it universally statewide. But I think this is the way I've been describing it, guys, to my audience. It's closing time at the bar, and there's one girl left, and this is your one last chance. if you don't take it, you're going home alone. You could tape a bridge, a picture of a bridge, to your ceiling somewhere, but it is not. When you get home, it is not. It's not coming back for a while after this. If they refuse it.
I don't know how you do things down there on the coast, but this is a family show, and I would encourage you to go ahead and keep it.
I don't know where
place.
Your mind is. But, you know, you're the one who took it in that direction.
All right, I'm taking the next question here. Here we go. So, recent poll by McLaughlin Group came out. The U.S. Senate race here in Alabama. Interesting dynamic, since Lindy Blanchard got out of the race and decided to switch over to a state run for governor. It appears that the 4% she had almost entirely went directly to Mike Durant. He went from 12% to 16% in one poll. Britt and Brooks are within a few points of each other in the margin of error, really. The only one who I see climbing in the polls right now is Durant. Give me your take. I'll start with you, Dale Jackson.
Something for everybody here, I guess. If you're Mo Brooks, you're at least happy that you're still in the front, at least in the race where everyone is. Not so ecstatic about being second in a head-to-head, but you still got that Trump endorsement in your pocket. If you're Britt, you're loving it. Momentum's in your favor. Things are looking really good for you. If you're Durant, you're at 16 and you just started. And if you're Jessica Taylor, you're wondering why you're still in the race.
Yeah. Jeff, you go next, man.
I think Mo Brooks slightly under polls here. So any statistical tie as a head-to-head would be. I would lean Mo Brooks. I think his supporters just aren't going to necessarily respond to a survey. The real diehard supporters, obviously they were responding to surveys early in this discussion overwhelmingly. But I think when it gets down to it and people start paying attention, they're going to be the last ones. It's sort of like the Roy Moore effect in Alabama. It's always been that way. But Mo Brooks, he's got some stuff to worry about. This is a momentum on Katie Britt's side. I just don't think you can do the whole thing. Like, it reminds me of what Rudy Giuliani did in the 2008 presidential cycle. Put all his ammo in for Florida. You've got to have some momentum going into Florida, and that's where he lost it. You got to have some momentum going into January or March or whenever it is he's going to kick his campaign. He needs to start showing some sign of life.
I'd agree with that. Cogent analysis, my friend. All right, so Yaffe, chime in. What do you think, man?
Yeah, I can't decide if I underestimated Katie Britt or if I underestimated retail politics, or if I overestimated the Trump endorsement. But I mean, all of those things seem to be true. Mo Brooks, I still, you know, it's his race to lose. But Britt's got momentum. And as Jeff said, momentum means a lot in stuff like this. And there's still a lot of people in the state. There's still a lot of people who don't really know who she is. So name ID, as she gets more and more of that, plus the momentum, plus Mo Brooks not campaigning as much as maybe he should, that's something that the Brooks campaign should be worried about.
Yeah, well, I don't disagree with any of that. So the reality is, in my opinion, the dark horse in this is Mike Durant. He's the only one who is consistently climbing in the polls. The rest of them are kind of holding their status quo. And for him to apparently just adopt the points that were given away by Blanchard means that literally there's a group of people out there who wanted something besides the top two. And so that's an interesting dynamic. Whether he can keep that going now, since the top two, there's nobody else except for Jessica Taylor to leave points on the table. It's going to be interesting to see. I tell you what, let's do this, Yaff. We're going to Yaffe, you got a question? You want to throw one out there real quick in the last 2 minutes? We'll take a quick question if you got one.
Oh man, putting me on the spot. But yes,
then let's okay, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, where are all of you on the governor's race? Do you think that a Tim James or the candidate formerly known as Linda, do they have a chance right now?
Me personally, I don't think Linda Blanchard is gonna wind up having the chutzpah to take this thing all the way to the end. If she gets a Trump endorsement, that'll help. But I think right now what you're looking at is the most viable contender against the incumbent is gonna be Tim James. Dale?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we're gonna be looking at a race between the two. But the other people are going to pull votes away and that could drag KIV down. So I think we have a race, it's still KIV's to lose.
Jeffro?
I think the Linda Blanchard effort will be in the gubernatorial race will be a little bit better than what we saw on the Senate side. However, I still think you guys are right. I think Tim James, it is his to make the most of it. I don't think Linda Blanchard's going anywhere.
All right, take us to a break, Yaffe. We'll come back with the Grand Council right after this this short break we got to take for our team members and see what the Grand Council Plus One can get done in the final sections of this segment. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Going back to one of my favorite times of each week, the Grand Council. We've got Dale Jackson from WVNN. We got our friend Jeff Poor from 106.5 down in the coastal regions. And we also got Yaffe thrown in the mix just to make it more fun. So the Grand Council, we are going back to the first round is over. Second round begins. Jeffro, ask a question.
The price of gasoline per gallon for regular gas on average, $3.03 a gallon. That's down from a month ago, $3.19 a gallon, but way, way up from a year ago, which was $1.95 a gallon. And what's the breaking point? And furthermore, what is the breaking point where we start talking about it in the sense of this political cycle coming up? Is there a dollar amount, or are we already there? Because I still think the ghost of 2019, it may not come back to haunt, but it may try.
Dale, go first, man.
I think you're right. The low cost of gasoline during the Trump administration will haunt Joe Biden and the Democrats moving forward. I think we're already there, and unless it goes down to where it is close, real close to where it was when Joe Biden took office, they're going to have to wear it.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in and say I agree with that assessment. I think when you look at what gas is up like 53% since Biden took office, and he has to wear that like a hat. And I would just say that he owns it, and it's not going to go away unless prices come down. And his policies are not going to help that right now. He's going to have to change some policies and move some things around and unblock the logjam at the ports to be able to get this thing in a better position. Yaffe, what do you think?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, the Biden administration will try to blame OPEC or greedy oil executives, but the president usually takes the blame with stuff like this. And if it doesn't, I mean, it's gone down a little bit, but if it doesn't go down quite a bit more, I mean, it's going to affect him and the Democrats.
Well, Jeffro, your own question. What do you want to add to it?
I think the magic number to look for, $4.05 a gallon, that was the record back on September 16 in 2008 here in Alabama. But you guys kind of took it in a different direction than I was expecting because the gas tax of 2019 increased.
Yep.
I think that's where it may not be valid. It may be apples and oranges, but that's not going to stop somebody like a Tim James from trying to make an issue out of it and saying, what has it gotten us? What do we have to show for Rebuild Alabama?
No, that's a perfect point. I had a segment the other day on the show about this kind of thing, and I had a Democrat congressman from California who was asking Gavin Newsom to reduce their state tax or at least freeze it for a period of time because it was raising the price at the pump. And I think that if Tim James knows what he's doing, or anybody else who gets primaried in the legislature, they should make them wear that like a hat, for that matter. All right. Hey, let me jump on the next question then. So here's the deal. Earlier I was talking to Yaffe on the air. So there were five GOP governors who came out with a letter signed in their own handwriting, sent to the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, asking that the Department of Defense stop trying to enforce vaccine mandates against their state National Guards while they're in state status. And then since that time, Governor Greg Abbott came out and said, as governor, he's just flat out not going to enforce it on his own. Governor Kay Ivey has said nothing about this. Do you think Governor Ivey has the care, concern, or leadership potential to not enforce a vaccine mandate against her own National Guard? Anybody want to jump onto that first?
Dale, I don't think she does. I don't think she's interested. That's going to take a bold position, and if she is brought to it, it'll be just like everything else, very slowly and behind the curve. She's following. Grandma Biden is not going to be jumping in front of anything.
Oh, Grandma Biden. Okay, Jeff, well, what do you think, man?
No. I think if she's forced to, if we start hearing stories or reports of guardsmen being dismissed or put on leave or whatever, however that works, I do think that she will pay attention, but Dale's right. I mean, there's no reason, there's no incentive for her right now. It just needs to become more of a news story.
Yeah, if you got anything to contribute.
Yeah, when is Kay Ivey ever first on any of this stuff? I mean, Jeff and Dale said it. She always seems to follow. So if enough Republican states get on board with something like this, then maybe she'll be like, oh, I'm doing the conservative thing. And it's like, yeah, eventually, but you are late. So that's where I am on this.
I think we're all right. All right, so Dale, we got about 4 minutes. What you got?
All right, look for the Grandma Biden slur to catch on. Be prepared. All right.
It's a hashtag.
Yeah. All right. I want to ask you guys, back to the Senate race. You got a bunch of the establishment media trying to float this whole, ooh, Donald Trump's about to rescind his endorsement. And two of those who did that, Cameron Smith and Todd Stacey, who kind of gave it a little bit of a attention without a skeptical eye, both admitted that Donald Trump basically is not going to rescind any endorsement. So do either of you think that Donald Trump will rescind his endorsement?
I think at this point there's no reason for him to right now. First of all, his guy is still ahead in the polls, and he hasn't campaigned for him yet, which he might yet. And I also, you know, Katie Britt is running a great campaign. I mean, she is probably one of the best retail politicians in the state right now when it turns to get out there and having a personality that wins, you know, friends and moves forward. But he does have that Trump endorsement, and I think something like 136 out of 140 races where Trump is endorsed, he's won. So why would he back off now, I guess? Jeff?
No, he's not going to back off because it would be the equivalent of him admitting he was wrong. Does Donald Trump go back and admit? No, he doesn't do that. It's just and Dale always raises this good point when we talk about this. When has Donald Trump ever done this where he's rescinded an endorsement? I mean, it would take some kind of scandal, I think, for that to happen. I don't see it in the cards.
Yeah, you can work for him and fall out of good favor, but I don't think I've ever seen him remove an endorsement from a candidate. Yaffe, you got something to reply to that real quick?
Yeah, basically ditto. They're exactly right. No way Donald Trump, no way Donald Trump's going to withdraw his endorsement. He's never done that before. There's no precedent for it.
Yaffe, if you've got a yes or no question we can run through in about a minute and a half, we'll do it. What you got?
I do. There's a rumor going around that Hillary Clinton is going to run for president in 2024 again. Yes or no? Do you think she will?
No freaking no. There's not enough pantsuits left in the world for that campaign. Dale.
I don't think she will. I hope that she does.
Jeff.
As long as she's got a pulse, yes, absolutely. She's
always my gosh.
She will not move on with her life.
This conversation is never allowed to be
Biden,
had.
But if Biden is not the nominee, then yeah, I think so.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are just ruining my entire day. All right. Fellas, Dale Jackson, Jeff Poor, Mike Yaffe. Grand Council, thank you for your time. Once again, gentlemen, we are signing off the Grand Council. Appreciate you as always.
Yes, sir.
All right, folks. Perfect timing. Perfect timing as the outtake music comes on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be back in a minute right after the news break. Got a little section we're going to go through on the Triple Dipper where we talk about places where the United States might be at risk, and they're not what you may be thinking. We'll be right back.